simple fact, women matter to the same.
And I'm seeing a lot, and we all are seeing a lot of just hatred and anger in 2017, and a lot of it is coming from women.
Yes.
And I'm just going to say, this is embarrassing to me, you know?
Yeah.
Now, if you have a right to say what's on your mind, that's your freedom. But, you know, when you get out there and embarrass, you know, females, that that's my opinion now. But, I mean, come on, at least be dignified with your speech, you know? And that's, again, that's my opinion. Because what you're doing, and these feminists that want to get out there and act like idiots, you know, then that's fine. You have a freedom to do that. But I really wish you would. You know, you're hurting feminism. That's not helping feminism. It's hurting feminism.
It's giving more reason to poo-poo it, right? And giving more reason to skew the idea. So again, it's a simple, very reasonable idea that I have the right to own my own business and make money. And if I do business with men, I am an equal partner. But it doesn't mean I am better. I have to earn the right. I have to do my work. I have to keep my word. I got to keep up. I got to be a human being.
The good life is one inspired by love and guided by knowledge. You'll find both love and knowledge here on The Misdiagnosed Life. Here is your host, Beverly Butler.
Some people say the way to speed up is to slow down. And that sounds good on the surface. But how do you do that? Well, my guest today, Gina Smith, she's an ontological coach and shamanic intuitive, and she helps guide her clients through the complicated areas of life and just helps to make them simple, which is really what we all want. And her website is jennasmithcoaching.com. Now, Jenna, a lot of people are going to say, look, that just sounds like bull. I'm just going to say it because, you know, the way to speed up is to slow down. That's counterintuitive. That makes no sense. But this is something that I have actually kind of predict, because not so much in how we do it. I'm not sure how we do that, but I predict society will slow down because we have been in this, well, first of all, you know, societies and people, we all go through, and societies go through cycles. And a lot of times we tend to go to from one extreme to the other. If you look at history, and take the 60,000-foot view of things. And that's what I like to do on a lot of things, is just kind of see the big picture. And so I firmly believe that we are going to enter into a phase, and we probably are doing that now, as things change, to where things just slow down, and we begin to slow down. But the question is, how do we do that, and can we really accomplish what we want to accomplish by slowing down? Because a lot of people are going to be very negative and be very skeptical about this. And a part of me is skeptical. I'll say that. But I do believe it can be done. I think it's possible, although I don't know how. So what are you talking about when you say, and we've talked before on a private conversation before this podcast the other day, and we talked about this. What are you talking about? You say we're entering into a new paradigm, and you're not the only one saying this. Other people are saying it too, that we're entering into a new paradigm. What are you talking about?
Okay, well, I'll start with the slow down to speed up, because essentially our mind can only understand things in a very limited way, meaning our mind will be like, oh, so I have to like do nothing, and like it's so extreme. When really when you said new paradigm, that's hitting the nail on the head as far as a new way of being, where the speed up doesn't cause a breakdown or a burnout, which is kind of worth getting on board, because especially women are, you know, moms, and they're working and they're doing it and they can, and they're excelling, but at what cost? A lot of them are burnt out. There's heart disease totally on the rise since women have been in the workplace, of stress because of this never ending, always something to do. When, if you look at nature, so really what I'm looking at here is balance. When you look at nature, there's night and day. And so it's not about slowing down to a stop. It's about shifting the paradigm to include our nature, to include both active and being.
So you're saying it's basically getting to a balance of things.
Yes.
And I will say this, I know of two people I can think off the top of my head that were very, and have been successful and very business oriented, you know, they're business people, and they both have had to slow down. I mean, to a significant degree, and they're simplifying life more because what happened when they had their nose to the grindstone so much, they got sick. And that's what's happening. And that's what I think happens a lot of times, and I know you'll agree with me, is that when you have your nose to the grindstone, and I have been told that to myself last year, is if you don't slow down and take a break, you will get sick. And so, and I know you've probably seen that, and that's the danger. That's the danger, because I feel like we are, because the health of all Americans and really people all over the world, but especially Americans, I mean, we're teetering on the edge. I mean, we're stressed out, we're toxed out. You know, our body is tired, our organs are tired, and you cannot just keep your nose to the grindstone and not pay a price. Now, I'm learning to slow down. That's not easy, but I am learning to do that. But are you seeing that where people are actually physically getting sick by doing too much?
Yeah. And again, so there's kind of two things in there is, are people getting sick because of that? And then there's another angle to look at it. Are people getting sick as sort of a intervention of, hey, you're missing the mark here?
Yes, I want to talk about that because, you know, there's been a sickness where, you know, like I was sick for over a month with bronchitis. And thankfully, I had some, you know, podcast pre-recorded, but I couldn't hardly talk. I mean, I sound like a frog. And it forced me to slow down. And I'm seeing a lot of that. I mean, that's going around. A lot of people now that are getting sick, it's lasting 3 weeks and longer. Is this what you're talking about? On one aspect?
Yes. Okay. So I will share about that when Beverly and I were chatting, just sharing about what's going on because I have a private practice and I work with groups. I saw this. And I got sick for 3 weeks too. So it wasn't like I was immune to my own intervention. My own spirit intervention was like, hey, Jenna, you know, that way you're going right there? No, actually, no. And it's a gift because I might have wasted a year going in a direction that wasn't the best direction. And so sometimes when we could just slow down, take stock, we can actually hear and listen to our full intelligence, which isn't just our cognitive mind. And we spoke in the other podcast about this difference between our left cognitive mind, the one that makes plans, the one that says put on pants before you go outside, the one that's like eat breakfast, like the thinking mind, planning mind is brilliant. It's beautiful, but it's not your whole self. So it's about slowing down to connect to your whole self, to connect to your being where you're in your body because you're sick, because you've been going too far.
Yeah. And you're saying basically we need to slow down and listen to, some people say, our higher self. Some people say just stop and listen to God. You know, sometimes God slows us down so that he can get our attention.
Exactly. And you, whatever belief system you have, it is the same.
Right. Right.
So, if I see it as God or spirit speaks your language, like whatever belief system, whatever truth system is yours, it'll be the same. It's wisdom, it's intelligence, it's life speaking to you. The intelligence of life is speaking to you, you know, that higher self that knows more than the here and now. So we have access to that all the time. We just don't use it. And it's just really quite silly. And so it's good that there's this new paradigm coming and maybe people are getting sick or maybe other sort of breakdowns are happening. Some other people like have something else they have to attend to where it slows down other areas of their lives. And then they're frustrated and why can't they move forward? So they're having a bit of a temper tantrum and then they surrender and then they go, oh, and something lights up and they get access to information they wouldn't have had before without the interruption. And so we judge interruptions and we judge sickness as bad. And what if the message through the sickness, because nothing else will get our attention, is something that is actually advantageous to our general life path.
Right. So it's actually trying to help us. Our higher intelligence, the higher intelligence is trying to help us by slowing us down so that we can think and tune in to what the higher intelligence is trying to tell us. Because there's a path we all need to be on, and sometimes we get off that path, and it's actually bringing us around to the right path that we need to be on to start with.
Mm-hmm. And as you were saying, Beverly, so many people will feel anxiety or depression and go straight to a medication or a distraction. And when the experience of the depression or the anxiety, and this is just one particular case, there's a lot to talk about in those experiences. The experience of the depression could be a cleansing experience where, again, they can release something and move on to something new. So too many people are so quick to run away from what is going on that they don't listen, you know, and they don't hear. And you know what? It's not their fault, because my whole business is about to teach people this, because I thought it was stupid that nobody learned this, how our bodies work, you know, how our emotions work, how our sensations work as intelligence for us. What is it like to connect to spirit and the sort of intangible, unknowable world, because we can, you know? So it's not anybody's fault. Nobody knows on a mass level how to do what they were born to do. They know intrinsically how to do this.
So you're saying that depression and the other, we'll call them negative emotions, is actually there for a purpose. It's actually good for us to feel those things, and we shouldn't try to run away from it. We need to experience that and go through that, because it's helping kindly purge us mentally, emotionally, so that we can go on to the next level. And do you see this a lot in your practice?
Oh, absolutely. It's when people hit a point that they can't move on anymore that they seek someone like me, because I incorporate the shamanic work, which is just working with nature and energy, and with the therapy. So understanding people's inner selves and all of these things, all of these complicated areas of people's lives that just maxes them out, makes sense to me because I made that my life purpose. So what I see is, and just to create a better distinction about anxiety and depression, is a mismanagement of emotions, and just they don't know how to process them. So by learning how to process them, and we can do something today in the podcast about how to get into your body. It's easy. It's called a body scan.
Yeah, let's
you just get
that.
Into your body. Yeah, you just get into your body and you feel it and you allow it and you trust the intelligence of your body to move through, just like you would a scab. You know, if I cut my hand, I don't have an anxiety attack about how it's going to heal. But we lost that trust in our body to process difficult emotions because it hasn't been modeled for us. It's been modeled for us to keep it under, don't air your dirty laundry, be happy, you know, the big grinning smile and you're dying inside. Like, make everyone else happy. Oh, it's an ugly, bad emotion. But if we just learn to be more authentic with it, we could have more capacity to feel all of our feelings and be happy, because we wouldn't be hanging on to all these backpacks of stuff from our past. We would just process it and be present.
So why have we not done that before? Does it have to do with the masculine energy and feminine energy?
A little bit. So, you know, I actually don't really know. All I know is that it is the way it is now, where in order for humanity in a way to just get through, really, we have a luxury of being depressed right now, because you used to just have to go and work. You have to just make money. You have to survive. It's a luxury to feel all of these feelings, even though they feel so bad, because we're evolving beyond survival. Many of us have more than enough things, like TVs, cars, we have stuff, we have money, we're spending it perhaps unwisely so that we have to keep running on the treadmill to keep up with ourselves. But in essence, we haven't had time to learn about emotions and learn about this part of us because we just had to survive. So you don't, you know, process the abandonment of your mother when you're running away from a tiger. It's just, you don't do that. You know, your body economizes your energy and uses it appropriately. So now that we have space and time, we can actually entertain things like soul purpose, creative expression, like true relationship without just surviving. That's my take on it, is that it has a lot more to do with the structure of society and we just had to get by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do you think that that the reason we're at this point in time, well, there's two things. The Earth, our galaxy, is going through some very dense energies. And this was something that was predicted by, you know, a long time ago, and a lot of different societies and religions have taught this. But we're going through a very dense energy field, and there's going to be some major, major changes that's occurring. And it's actually changing us to a degree. Our energetic vibration is rising. Do you think that is one reason people are more in tune to even talking about this? Because, I mean, 40 years ago, if you started talking about this, they would think you were crazy. You would not have a business because they weren't open to that. But now more people are open to talking about this. And number two, do you think that has part of why it's like this? And number two, do you think that people are just so burnt out, that they're just looking for answers? They're not getting answers in the medical field, and they're just absolutely burnt out, and your message resonates with them?
Well, both. So the sort of astrological phenomenon that's happening, and sort of there's, so for anybody who doesn't know what that means, is, you know, we're mostly made of water. We are on this planet. We're being held down by gravity. We're spinning through the universe around this big star. There's a lot of factors that affect us, whether or not we believe in them. And one of my very good friends is a business astrologer, and she is bang on. So she looks at the stars and the formations and can predict certain energies. It's amazing. So why not get on board with that type of intelligence? To me, it just makes sense. So this shift that you're speaking of, Beverly, that a lot of other energy workers that speak more energy words than I do, I like to stay very jargon-free as much as possible around like fifth dimension, third dimension. There's all sorts of stuff you can talk about. But fundamentally, it's like a veil has lifted, and people have a yearning for, a seeking for something more alive than before. Like the mundanities of the world that used to be good enough, like the car or the clothes. And those are really fun. When you're tuned in and tapped in and you're aligned, that's fine. You can have the car or not have the car. It doesn't define you. Like if you love something, there's nothing wrong with things. There's nothing wrong with beauty. So that is perfectly allowed because we're creative beings. We love beauty. But when you're aligned, when you don't need the thing to feel good or to prove something, that's freedom. So a veil is lifted to accessing more of who we were in the first place is what I see. And also rebalance from this go, 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 achieve, achieve, achieve masculine energy that is fine, that is good, but it's imbalance. That the problem is the imbalance, because a lot of people are talking about feminine energy in different circles and too much to the point of where we can polarize too much to just feminine energy, where we'll be just kind of like hanging out, doing what we feel like, and that feels good, that doesn't feel good, that's good intelligence. But then when you have a great idea and you're like, oh, wouldn't it be great to, right now I'm creating a jazz concert, I'm a professional singer, so I want to do it because I love singing. So I have to make plans, I have to call people, I have to do the numbers, you know, that's where balance. So yes, I want to create this because I want to have this experience, this lights me up, this feels good, and I'm going to do all of the planning, you know? So that's what people are missing, is the yin and the yang, the flow, the water goes in, the water goes out, the breath goes in, the breath goes out. Like, we are part of nature. And when we disconnect is when nature will try to rebalance, always, when there's a disconnection.
So really we've been out of balance. And what we're
absolutely
doing, what we're doing now is working toward getting into balance, which we've been in. They say too much masculine energy, we're going more into the feminine energy, but we don't need to go to the opposite extreme. We just need a balance.
You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. It's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. We invite you back to AmericaOutLoud.com to get all the latest on podcast or talk radio. And download our new app to be part of the most informed audience in broadcast. Well, I want to share a recent experience with you that changed my life. Well, perhaps you could relate to what I'm about to tell you. Well, working long hours, difficulty sleeping, low energy even. Well, safe to say, it was all catching up to me. Well, then someone sent me a product called Healthy Cell Pro. And they told me to take it for 30 days. 3 weeks into a one-month supply, and the results just about blew me away. More restful sleep, I had a sharper focus, and more energy. Even for Malcolm Out Loud, that is. Well, Nobel Prize nominee inventor Dr. Vincent Giampapa, he explains it this way. It works by infusing your cells with over 60 plant-derived phytonutrients that target the building block of your body, the cell. Well, I liked it so much that I asked the company for a special deal for you. Well, instead of $110 plus shipping, you get it for just $79.99 for the monthly plan, plus free shipping. Just go to HealthyCell.com, use the limited time offer code OUTLOUD.
A So now, is this kind of like a spiritual upgrade of sorts?
Yeah. Because again, we had to survive. There's a really famous psychologist, Abraham Maslow, that has a hierarchy of needs. I don't have it in front of me, but basically there's, you know, your basic survival, and then there's your family. So you're concerned with your family survival, and then you rise up and you rise up. But as you rise up, as all of those needs are being met on this pyramid, you get up to something called self-actualization, which is the full experience of yourself on the planet. What lights you up in your individuality and the ability and the faculties to express that uniqueness that's in you.
Okay. So back to this question we had at the first, explain a little bit more of what you told. How do people speed up by slowing down?
Well, the best analogy is the internet, because if you work on a laptop and you're just on that laptop, you have a certain amount of information there and you got to open things up, and there's almost a cumbersome aspect to opening everything, managing all the files. And then there's the internet, and it's just information out there. It's just out there. You know, you have to type in something to access that particular file, but it's all there. So when you, and you know, people call this the subconscious mind, and the subconscious mind is actually mapped out on your body. So your subconscious mind is actually your entire body and more, and it holds information. So you're getting information on the dime. You're getting it instantaneously without any convincing, without any facts, without any corroborating data. And because this guy said so, it means it's true. You're just getting data. You're just getting straight up information. And so it's up to us to learn how to work with that and to trust that, and to trust when it's our mind going blah, 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 what I've known in the past, what somebody else said, what the history book says. That's what facts are. That's what the mind likes to compartmentalize and organize facts. And it's very good at that. But that's not what we're looking for when you want to really create something new and interesting or feel good. So the idea is that you are speeding up by accessing pure intelligence without having to digest it through the cognitive mind, which, if you know, when you have a lot of files open on your computer, it slows it down.
So this is taking a shortcut. So
yes.
Basically, is it like just listening to your gut instincts?
Yes. And in the whole totality. So people can call it gut instinct, because there's their body intelligence is going, like, sometimes, you know, somebody might get called by an ex-boyfriend or an ex-lover or something, and then their whole body tenses up. Well, that's information. Like, don't go on the date. Don't engage. It's information. So, you know, we don't listen to all of this information available to us. And so the invitation, again, is this reboot of actually slowing down. Okay, maybe a bronchitis. I had this weird flu cold thing that just, I was half able to do. I could do all my basic things, see clients, and then I would sleep. And it just forced me to step out. And then by the third week, I finally surrendered and was like, okay, what do I need to know? And because I have these skills and they're easy to learn, like I teach this, they're out there to learn, of ceremony, of connection, of journaling, of it's like whatever pulls. It could be reading the Bible. It could be opening the Bible at a certain passage, and then that's for you. You know, it's just this engaging participation with that unknowable, the God mind, that connection, and knowing that you can connect with it is going to speed up your life, because you're going to have the most congruent outcome, just because, not because you had to figure it all out, but because you're downloading from direct divine.
Speed up by slowing down.
Yeah.
We're actually going to the source for the answers,
yep,
instead of running around here like a chicken with his head cut off, trying to,
yep,
find the answers from other sources that already, you know, may or may not be accurate.
Exactly.
But we have to learn how to do that. So
yeah,
can we do that on our own? I mean, I know you teach this, but could people,
yeah,
learn to do this on their own? And in order to do this, then we've got to slow down, because you've got to be in tune with what you're feeling and what you're,
mm-hmm,
you know, the thoughts you're having.
Yeah, I have two answers to that. I mean, one, yes, I teach that. And I don't even think I told you this, Beverly. I have an online course now called You Are the Manual that teaches this. So people could just buy it and go through the course for a fraction of what it costs to work with me one-on-one, because I felt so passionately about getting a program out there. So yes, there's that, there's me, but I don't believe I'm the source. There are many people, I believe, in going, how can I learn this? You know, ask that of yourself. I like, take it on. I want to learn how to feel my feelings. I want to learn this stuff. I believe you will be led. You will be led. Just listen. Like books, I've heard people, and this has happened to me, books fall off the shelf. A book that you just write a review about, your friend gives to you. This is like the realm of miracles. This is a God-like co-creation participation that's possible for everybody. And again, there's these interventions that happen where you get slowed down, or you get slowed down so you don't get in that car accident 5 minutes that was going to happen. So can you let go of the wheel? And that's the real question here. Can you let go of control long enough? Can people do this? Yes. Can you let go of everything you've ever known for something better? That's up to the individual.
Yeah. And that's going to be tough for control freaks like me and a few other people I know. You've also said that, the more we plan and try to figure things out, the more we muck things up. And I'm like,
potentially,
man, mm-hmm. you could have done without saying that, because you really hit the head on the nail with me. I'm always trying to figure something out. So you're saying I need to just quit trying to figure things out. And just listen to my higher self.
It isn't a complete extreme, though, because again, the mind works in extremes. Oh, you mean slow down? Okay. And then you just don't move.
That's the way my mind works. See, that's the problem.
That's
I have to
the way every
myself.
Mind works. Every yeah. mind works that way. You're not alone. You're a human being.
So, well, what about those people? What about the people that don't learn this, that still stuck in that old mind frame of just work and the old mindset? Are those people, what's going to happen? I mean, are they just going to get sicker and sicker, or what will happen to those as society changes?
Are That's a good question.
Be along for the ride, I guess. So really it's healthier to just, of course, that is common sense, slow down and rest when you need to. But and really, that's another thing. If our mind and our body is telling us to rest, we need to listen. And
yes.
If we get a phone call from an ex or someone and it stresses us, so you're saying it's okay not to answer, right?
Yeah.
If it stresses us, huh?
Yes, it is.
Even though we might need to talk with them, maybe we could just write them a letter or something,
Well, it's discernment. It's not giving your power away, I don't want that person not to like me. Isn't a good enough reason to do something.
Too many of us do that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. How do you not give your power away?
Don't.
Just don't, huh?
just don't. As soon as you feel it. There's a place called the solar plexus right in the middle of your belly. And that's where people feel that gut feeling. And there's actually physiologically a bunch of nerves there that are like a mini brain. So we do actually have a little brain of intelligence there in our gut.
Oh, yeah. And that's been shown.
Yeah, exactly. So science is catching up with, again, the intangible known. So the reason I love shamanism, Beverly, it was on every continent in the world before people could communicate. And now that we can communicate, all of the ceremonies and teachings are fundamentally the same. And that just blew me away. I thought, okay, if this just feels like truth to me, if all of these medicine men came up with this and all over the world in different continents, how could that be? That just seems to be true to me. So anyway, that's what really lined up for me with shamanism, was that you are connected to nature, you're connected to spirit, so therefore you're connected to all intelligence. So you just gotta, find some ways to do that. So getting back to people pleasing, well, it's a term, it's jargon. People pleasing is giving your power away to make sure people like you, which looks like, hey, where do you want to go for dinner? I don't care, but you do care. You kind of want Chinese. But you don't say it because you don't want to be a bother. And you don't want to,
rock the boat.
You probably won't rock the boat by saying you want Chinese, but the risk of rejection is too high that you decide to give your power away instead of just say it. And so we're learning to heal these fundamental issues in our personality, that it matters more what they think about you. To me, that's a pervasive wound in our society, is it matters more what they think. Do you know how many women die because they don't want to, the weird man in the van to think they don't like them?
That's an extreme example, but I'm sure you're right. Oh, they haven't thought about that.
It was a statistic on Oprah, and there was a policeman. This was ages ago. I'm 35 now, and this was in my teens. And I remember paying attention. I remember watching this police. He was so impassioned. He was just so impassioned. And it's the passion that really, that's what people get linked up to, the charisma and the passion. And he's like, women, stop doing this. Listen to yourself. because so many women would be victimized because they wouldn't listen to themselves. They didn't want them to not like them. They didn't want them to think they didn't like the man. They don't want to hurt his feelings.
And he was a total stranger.
Total stranger.
Like, who would care? You know. So basically you're saying we need to not care what other people think, which how many times have we heard that?
Yes, but in a congruent discernment, you know, it's not about F you, everyone.
Right.
Your opinion doesn't matter more than my opinion of myself. So it's about not acquiescing to other people's opinions for your own opinion of yourself. I know I made it more complicated, but the idea is that you matter. Your opinion of you matters. So don't always give it away. Does my safety matter more than what this man thinks of me? Yes. And you see the difference. It's like,
right.
My safety matters more.
When we do that, we're actually, it has to do with just respecting ourselves too.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we've been trained socially to be liked. You know, you look at school, you look at the systems, you look at the cool kids, you know, it's like, if you're not liked, and fundamentally back in tribal times, you would be exiled and you would die. So abandonment on a physiological level brings up very strong feeling. And so coming back around, we're having a very feminine conversation, opening all these files and talking about them, but we're still all connected, is this veil that's lifted, you said about in the world that there's something happening that's changing us, is that we now are more interested in the full expression of who we can really be rather than do they like me? We have more possibilities. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we're moving, and you say this and other people have said this, we're moving the transition, which has to do with going to the feminine, but we're moving more into our living from our heart and our feelings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the intersection of all of it. So our heart is a almost like a portal, not to sound too Star Trek-like. It's like a place where we can access that God self, where we can access our interconnectedness to everybody, where, you know, from a business perspective, if business is done from this heart space, everything will go well. But you have to not want to. So the masculine would be, okay, I'm going to make $1 billion and everyone else can go screw themselves. That's the information about corporations and high-end corporations are akin to sociopaths. Sociopaths don't care what other people think. It's just all about them. Narcissist is another word that's out there. People that only see themselves. So that's what's ending. It's the unhealthy, imbalanced masculine, because masculine energy is great. Men are great. It's not about men or women, because men and women hold both masculine and feminine energy.
Explain the difference between that. Explain the difference between masculine and feminine energy. And you've, from my understanding, feminine energy is not the same thing as feminism.
Absolutely not.
And
no.
Masculine is not, you know, the same as the other. So what's
the difference? Yeah, masculine isn't it about the alpha male? Like, masculine isn't about ego, you know, like that sense of competition and me first is not necessarily masculine. So there's a lot of misunderstandings that are going to keep coming through while this sort of sieves through. We're going to get to more deep truth, and it's going to include the biggest thing for your listeners is to listen to yourself. You are tuned in. It isn't out there. You have it. And it's about building trust that you do, and then gaining evidence, building trust, gaining evidence, finding information that resonates, you feel it, yes, or something, and you can't quite describe it, and following that. So that's the invitation.
It's a knowing.
It's a knowing. Yeah. It's a knowing, exactly. And then you do the thing, and then it confirms it and builds the knowing. Then you do the thing that you thought you shouldn't do, and you're like, darn it. Oh, I knew that.
Yeah.
And then you build it again, even if you did the opposite. You're building, you're knowing.
Yeah.
So feminism is that women are just as important as men, you know, so as far as being able to vote and women doing an uprising to be like, hey, hey, enough. So certain select women had to come in very masculine like in order to make that change. Because often that's what we've needed to do. We need to wage a war to get you couldn't win a war with feminine energy very well in this day and age. You'll just die. Like, they'll just kill you. So it also wasn't something people would even entertain because of that knowing, okay, I can't just love this person and expect them to love me back, because that their power over me to kill me is in fact stronger. I will die. So feminism is a societal issue of women mattering as much as men, women being paid as much as men, women being able to vote, women being seen as equal parts of society and not this patriarchal. So there's a lot of, bad like imagery and understandings about feminism as this like really harsh anti-man woman. And that's not what it is. It's just this simple fact, women matter to the same.
And I'm seeing a lot, and we all are seeing a lot of just hatred and anger in 2017. And a lot of it is coming from women.
Yes.
And I'm just going to say, this is embarrassing to me, Now, if you have a right to say what's on your mind, that's your freedom. But, when you get out there and embarrass, females, that's my opinion now. But I mean, come on, at least be dignified with your speech, and that's my opinion. Because what you're doing, and these feminists that want to get out there and act like idiots, then that's fine. You have a freedom to do that. But I really wish you would, you're hurting feminism. That's not helping feminism. It's hurting feminism.
It's giving more reason to poo-poo it, right? And giving more reason to skew the idea. So again, it's a simple, very reasonable idea that I have the right to own my own business and make money. And if I do business with men, I am an equal partner, but it doesn't mean I am better. I have to earn the right. I have to do my work. I have to keep my word. I got to be a human being. So it's really about human being. We have strengths and weaknesses, all of us, men and women, but women being less than had to change. So feminism. So feminine energy, is the knowing the unknowable. It's intuition. It's creativity. It's also very much non-productive, been judged as non-productive. Like a bubble bath isn't productive. Slowing down and feeling the sun on your skin and smelling the sea air isn't productive. And jumping on a trampoline.
But unless it could be. Unless, because we're slowing down. That's what we're talking about, though.
This is exactly what we're talking about.
That's right. It could be productive, because that's a lot of times when good ideas come to you. It's when you're taking a bubble bath.
Exactly. Because why?
Because you're slowing down and you're listening to your higher self, or you're listening to God.
People just want to feel good. And it's perfect because it's this intersection between color in the lines. There's just enough structure that adults can let themselves color. If it was like draw a picture, if they just got a blank book and said draw, there's so many things that need to be healed about you can't draw, your grade two teacher says, or that doesn't look like a horse. There's so many wounds, creative wounds people have, that they just stop doing stuff that feels good. They don't sing anymore because I can't sing, because it just feels good. It's really sad because all of these things are so much fun. And then you're going to die. And what, you've got a lot of work done, made a lot of money. I mean, to me, it's tragic.
Yeah. That's going to give you an empty feeling at the end of your life.
Yeah. Yeah. Like feeling the sun on your skin on a beach is awesome. Unless you don't like that. Because what if it's fishing and smelling the smell of fish, and maybe it's ice fishing and it's really cold? Not my thing, but I'm sure that lights up other people,
Yeah, like some of these Alabama hunters, I'm from Alabama originally. I mean, they would get up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and go hunting. And I'm like, that's not fun to me,
But it is to them.
It is to them.
Or it might not be. And if it isn't, maybe they're being a people pleaser and just going and doing something they don't, because people will still do. There's a whole other show about how to be in a marriage and get this right, because your husband or partner or wife might like this and this and this, and you like this and this and this, and there's ways of coalescing with that. But, to get on point with what we're talking about here, is the feminine energy is that intuition, knowing without facts, unknowable, meditation. That's why yoga has become huge, because people are just like, there's gotta be something else. So the feminine is like, I got joy, pleasure, sensuality, smells, tastes, feelings, beauty, nature. It's so, so ripe, and it's so juicy, and it's so alive that it scares the very pragmatic, practical people. Cause like, ooh, scary, scary life. And I think people are getting sick of it, and they're like, wait, no, actually I want to feel my feelings, and I want to feel, and I want to be here, that's what I think is going on.
Yeah. Now, how do you feel your feelings?
it's just so funny because it's all there for us, but our mind has gotten in the way. So the first step is to even entertain that your mind is separate from, not separate from, different than, it's a different experience than feeling your body. So feelings are, so let's talk you through something. So we talked about doing a body scan. Let's do it now. Now, if you're driving, you can still do this, but just, you know, be aware. Don't go fully into a relaxation state. So, which again is another feminine energy, relaxation. Relaxation is productive. Tension isn't. You see this with athletes and everything. So it's really, really cutting the crap out of what we thought feminine energy was and really owning it for how magnificent it's always been. It's the misunderstandings that are the problem. So how do we feel our feelings is, you know, it is as simple as feeling your feelings, but I'll talk you through so it won't be so, we get very, human beings in the society are very insecure to get it wrong, to do something right, even though you've never done it before, which is really funny. If you've never done something before, how would you know how to do it? But yet you feel stupid.
Yeah, and some people think this is a silly question, but you stop a minute. For people like me and other people that have stayed in our head and think, and we've never really practiced really noticing our feelings, which is really what feeling our feelings is, we really haven't noticed them. You know, and my daughter is really, these younger kids are really good at feeling things, you know, and she'll say, Mama, just stop and feel before you think, because she knows Mama says things that maybe Mama shouldn't say, or, you know, because I'm too much in my mind, and it comes across a little harsh sometimes to her or something, and she has said, Mama, feel before you think, you know, before you say, before you speak. And but for someone that's not used to feeling things so much, that is hard. It's like funny. You know, it's like, okay, what? Well, how do you do that? Because you're so much in your mind. And a lot of America is, although that is changing. But tell us how we can really feel our feelings.
Sure, yeah. So, and I guide people through this all the time. All the time. That is, half of our work is, okay, how does that feel in your body? And I guide so that you don't feel stupid. Because that insecurity isn't wrong or bad. It's just a pervasive collective wound about, I should do this right. The fear of humiliation, the fear of getting it wrong. The school system is so bad about that. But you know, you have the right to get it wrong and fumble your way to mastery, because that's how you do it. So you start with going, I want to feel my feelings. Okay. All right. So I'm listening to this podcast, and let's follow this Jenna chick from Canada. All right. I don't think she knows what she's talking about. She sounds kind of crazy, but I'm kind of wanting to do that. That sounds good. Relax it. You know, that's kind of how the mind talks. And so you let the mind be, okay. You let it think. You create enough space just in your awareness, just in your permission by doing this right now, for both to exist. You can be thinking thoughts, but you don't have to be thinking of your thinking thoughts. You can actually kind of like pull back the camera, so to speak, with your awareness. And this is why, again, all of these hot topics, mindfulness is simply being aware of, there's thoughts being thought in my head. I am not my thoughts. So just even starting with that, and that, like, I think that would start to shift people. And then the most easy is feeling your breath, noticing it. You don't have to take these big fake relaxation breaths and pretend like you know how to do it. If you don't, you know, just breathe, watch yourself breathing.
Yeah. I just took a deep breath. You knew I did that, didn't you? Why do we do that? You start talking about breathing. You start taking a deep breath.
You take,
I've already done it wrong. So I've already done it wrong.
You didn't. So maybe that was actually just a natural deep breath. What I see people do is they're like, okay, I should take a deep breath now because I'm not breathing deep enough. And it's like, just let your breath determine your breath. So maybe you'll take some shallow breaths. Maybe you'll take a big sigh. And it's just all, however you show up right now is fine, because that's the only measurement. How you are right now. Fine. You're good. So Beverly, you took a deep breath. Awesome. That's what your body wanted to do. So that's it. Oh, okay. I'm tuning into my body. I feel my breath. Oh my gosh, my breath is breathing for me. Because it is. Your breath is breathing for you. There's an autonomic nervous system. It is dividing cells. It is digesting your food. It is listening to this while you're probably inevitably doing something else. It is so intricate and magnificent that there's no way our conscious mind should ever be in control of that. So you just watch your breath and you tune in. And you'll have thoughts. It's not about not having thoughts. The brain thinks. The more you do this, the more space between the thoughts happens naturally. It isn't something you impose. It's something that happens naturally. It's like a flower blooming happens when it's time. A ripe fruit falls off when it's time. It's nature. So you just watch the nature of your breath. And then I like to bring people down into their feet. Just feel your feet. Wiggle your toes. My feet are freezing. They are cold. So I'm aware that my feet are cold. And so I'm wiggling my toes and I'm feeling that I'm wiggling them while miraculously at the same time, I'm wiggling them and I'm feeling them wiggle. There's this both and. So I'm feeling the sensations, feeling the cold, I'm feeling how that makes my muscles a little stiff. I'm feeling my legs. I'm feeling, where am I? Are you sitting? Are you lying down? Are you in a car? Do you feel your pelvis sitting on the place? The pelvis is where your legs connect to your spine, to your back. And you just tune into your body just like that. Feeling my feet, feeling my legs, feeling my knees. And maybe you're just aware of them in space because you don't have to see them. You don't have to do anything. You just start being aware of the body that's already here because it's already here. You're just becoming aware of it. And then how do you feel your feelings is to feel the sensations, hot, cold, heavy, buzzy, tight, clenched, open, warm, light. You know, sometimes people can feel the energy above their body and just kind of feel a buzzy warmth. Numb is also a feeling because you're aware of the absence of feeling. And so the real way, and in the psychology world, this is called somatic work, connecting to the body, because they found that trauma is released through the body and not through the mind, not through the thinking mind. So this is feeling the sensation. So if you feel a tension in your chest, you just feel it. The mind's going to want to know why it's there, how to get rid of it. The body, the being is just, oh, there's tension in my chest. Very curious, very childlike. And that's how you feel feelings. It's anchor in with the breath. If it's an intense feeling, go back to the breath. If it's an intense feeling, open your eyes. Look around the room. You're fine. Because more often than not, the intense feeling happened in the past and was too much for you to digest and assimilate. And that's where helpers really come in. If you've had some big stuff happen, you should go see somebody. You should seek extra help. But for the most people, you can start to do this connection, and that starts to activate the feminine energy.
Okay, so feeling our feelings, actually, that makes sense. It actually activates the feminine energy. So that we can actually start using it.
If you aren't creating it, it is always there. You are increasing your capacity to be in it.
Okay, so this is how we start actually using the feminine energy, and then just start listening more to our feelings and our gut instincts. And if we want to take that bubble bath, go take the bubble bath. If we want to walk on the beach, go do that. We should listen to our body, and when it's tired, we need to rest it.
Yes, and then you'll be resting, and this is the beautiful thing, really articulating that. The great thing about this is that if you're resting too much, you'll get anxious. It's time to do that paper. Got to pick up the kids, got to go get groceries. It's balanced. So if you're lying down for too long, you'll get a very natural inclination, emotional inclination usually, or fear-based. I have to, or else, you know, the boss will be mad at me, or da 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 da. But it'll be a natural thing, time to get up.
And this is how we can actually be guided. So really, we're to be guided by our feelings and emotions.
Yes.
And also when we're practicing feeling our feelings, and we start feeling discomfort different places. Mm-hmm. And so I've heard this, and you can, you know, make sure this is correct or not, but we really should just feel those feelings and let them just pass on through us. And will some of this discomfort just go away if we just allow the feeling to be there and let the energy flow through us?
Technically, yes. Unfortunately, we have so many hooks in our mind that create little loops, like nets. And what I mean by that is, if you're feeling a feeling, the intelligence, as I said, you cut your hand, the intelligence of your body will just move into action to, create, what is that called? Coagulating the blood and hardening it and creating a scab. And you don't have to think about that. So the same thing with feelings, with, hurt feelings, with even trauma. The problem is the mind gets in the way, and then we create a loop. Okay, so like So technically you're right. We can feel things to completion, and you'll usually either feel tired or a wave of new energy. And that's how you can know. And if you don't, you'll probably continue, like you'll just keep feeling the feeling because you haven't digested it, assimilated, release. That's the part that most people don't know how to do. And that's why yoga and mindfulness and all these things are really coming up, because people want to. They're like, I just want to be done feeling like a loser. I just know that I don't have to feel like a loser. I just want to heal that. Feeling unworthy to me is one of the biggest wounds that I work with and am an expert in, as relieving the lie of unworthiness. It hurts so much. It hurts so much to feel like a loser. It hurts so much to feel unattractive to other people. It hurts so much to feel alone. Because it's a natural, it is a natural emotional reaction to the thought that you suck, because it's not true. We are unconditionally worthy beings. So the thought I'm a loser will evoke pain. Ooh, I'm a loser. Yeah, you're a loser. You're a loser because this person said you're a loser, and because of this, and you totally failed at that, and you've got this really strong file, like a really mean prosecutor lawyer has a really strong file that you're a loser. So that's what often is because people have such loaded emotions because they haven't been tended to for years. When they go to do the mindfulness, they're like, well, this sucks. I don't want to feel this much pain. I don't want to, because all of the pent up, unexpressed, undigested, assimilated, eliminated is in there and it wants to get out. Okay. So yes, technically, yes, you can feel it to completion. Mostly you will get looped in. And so the thought you're a loser isn't true. So it creates the feeling of pain as an indicator to you, hey, that's not true. But if you believe it's true, this is where the mind and the body and the heart kind of might get confusing at first. But if you believe it's true, that hurt feeling starts to feel normal. You start to tolerate it as normal. And then it's a little trickier. So there might need to be some assistance and guidance in the first couple waves of really moving through emotions. But for the most part, we can all do this. We are built to do this.
Yeah, and this is about just learning to feel your feelings. This is not to take the place of medical attention if you need that, or a counselor, or any type of thing. If you've got some serious problems, whether they're emotional, mental, physical, you go to the appropriate expert and get that handled. This is not at all to replace that. It's just to get us all where we, where we're just feeling our feelings so that we can pay attention to things and, again, get into more of this idea of where we can slow down by listening and getting really more accurate information when we learn how to do that, so that we can go more, listen more to our instincts and live more from that and more from our heart, other than so much from our mind, from our heads. And that's where things are going. That's the new paradigm shift that's happening now. And I welcome it. And I think a lot of other people welcome it, because we're just tired. I just see people, myself can speak for myself. And I think I can speak for a lot of other people. We are tired of the rat race. We're tired of having our nose to the grindstone 24/7. And some of us just can't sustain that, or not very long. And it's not good to sustain it very long. Yes, there's sometimes you have to do that for certain things, but hopefully it's just in the short term and not a long-term thing, because we're just tired. Everybody's tired.
Mm-hmm. Because that's their intelligence saying, you don't have to do this.
That's right. Things are changing.
There's new associations. Like, I'm a part of an association called SHEEO, SHEEO, SHEEO. So Feminine Led Ventures, which is creating a whole new economy, a whole new funding model, because it isn't about attacking the problem. It's about creating a new solution. Just create a new solution. Go over here, build this business over here. That's people centered. That's fair trade. That's ethical. I mean, why is that not done in business? It's just so bizarre to me. Like, why is that called social enterprise? It's funny to me. They create new categories for what makes common sense to me. Yeah, okay. Money isn't more important than people. Woo!
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Well, now that's a new concept for a lot of people.
I know. It's just ludicrous to me. So
yeah, it is.
New solutions are arising. All the documentaries about food. Like, don't go nutso. Don't go vegan if you don't need to go vegan. Listen to your body. Listen right. to your body. Maybe you do need meat. Go get it from a place that doesn't treat the cows like crap. Then you'll feel good. You know, like it's the more we're tuned in, we get, the more we tune into the world, the more we tune into the world's heartbeat and the truth. And then it all works out in a perfect balance. We just don't believe it. We've been so askew. We yeah. don't believe it. And it's all yeah. about entertain believing it, and things will start to shift for you.
Yeah. And that's the thing too, is when we start being more in tune with our bodies and our feelings and our mind, our spirit, just more in tune to our whole self, then we'll notice things on an emotional level, a physical level, and even we'll notice more when food does work. Some foods work better yep. with us and others don't. But if you don't pay attention to how you're feeling, see, that can go across everything yep. in our lives. You know, if you're paying more attention, and I have started doing this more, and I have noticed certain foods work. You know, I feel better with certain foods than I don't with other foods. You know, like if I eat something mm-hmm. and a couple hours later I'm tired, then I can put two and two together now, where used to I wouldn't, because I'm noticing more. Yep. I'm noticing more how I feel. And this is really important for people, because there's no one diet that's good for everybody. Yeah. Everybody's different. And we just have to use common sense. But when we can pay attention to how we feel, that it goes a long way to telling us what we need to be doing or eating or not eating and or not doing. Depends on how yeah. we feel.
And at any given moment. So you might go on a diet for 2 weeks and you feel fantastic. And then after 2 weeks, your body's done what it needs to do and now it's moving on. But this part of your mind's like, no, this one works. It works, it works, it works, it works, it works. Because it did. No, but it's being fully present. What works now? What yeah. now?
And that is it's an interesting thought, because there's also some thinking of how maybe we shouldn't put time limits on things, because, you know, it's just like what you just said. Maybe it's only what we're going to do feels right, but it's maybe only good for a certain amount of time. And we don't know how long that is, you know. And
yes, yeah, so the only way to do it is to be fully present and practice being centered, because there's a space in this connection, this intersection between human and being and masculine and feminine and da 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 da, all of these dualities, where you will know what to do, how to do it, when to do it in the moment, at any given moment. If you could, like, how relieving is that?
That is very comforting. That sounded really good when you said that.
Right. I know. And it's true. That's truth going, wee, true.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, because in your it body. Feels good.
And if you can believe, yeah, and if you can believe in that, and now there's a whole other bunch of stuff around, like people being addicted to stuff so it will feel good because it feels familiar and it's a chemical addiction, blah, blah, blah. But your true truth, this is what we're talking about here, will guide you perfectly at the right moment, at the right time, the right information will come. You will know exactly what to do, say, not do. That's the possibility of tuning in and being balanced and being more, doing less, but not doing. Being more, doing less to get back to balance, because we're all imbalanced.
Yeah. And that has to do with doing it the correct way, but also trusting our instincts and trusting what comes to us. Well, thank you, Jenna. Appreciate this. It's been really good information. And thank you for listening. This is Beverly Butler with the Misdiagnosed Life podcast and talk radio on the America Out Loud Network.